Welcome to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, those are just a few of the things that we cover. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word. And I help you do that each and every day. Thank you for joining me. And I just want to remind you that you can download a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We have the podcast and all the major podcast platforms out there. And also, you can go to AFR.net, click on the podcast tab, look for the Middle East Reports, and you'll be able to find all the information there about what we do and listen to all of the shows, including archived editions of the Middle East Report. And we are going to actually connect to the land of Israel, but our guest today just happens to be in the United States. And I want to introduce Rabbi Tuli Wise. He is the founder of Israel 365 and the editor of the Israel Bible. That's the first Bible dedicated to highlighting the relationship between the land and the people of Israel. And Israel 365 is doing so much to bridge between Jews and Christians. Rabbi Tuli, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report.
Thanks, John, for having me. It's great to be with you.
Well, why don't we just start off here by you telling us about Israel 365 and what you guys are all about.
Israel 365 is based on the scripture in Deuteronomy 11 that says that Israel is not like Egypt, the land that you come from, right? The Jews were in Egypt from slavery, brought into the wilderness, and God says, I'm taking you into a special land, a land that the eyes of the Lord God are upon every day from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, 365. And it's the only time that the Bible actually describes what God does on a daily basis, right? He doesn't go to work. He doesn't go to school. What does God do every day? It says that his eyes are focused on the land from the beginning of the year until the end of the year.
Well, you're doing that in so many different ways and helping people to realize that. And I mentioned the Israel Bible. That helps people put in context, you know, what's happening in the Bible, because geography, history, culture, language, all of those things are important, you know, when you read God's Word.
Israel really jumps out of the Bible when you're paying close attention, but most people aren't. Most people kind of read the Bible in a superficial manner. And so what we did is we took all of the verses about Israel and we highlighted them and we transliterated them so that anyone who doesn't speak Hebrew could read the original language and read the Bible in Hebrew. And we also have study notes on Israel, about the history, the culture, the language on every chapter of the Hebrew Bible. So there's over 1,000 study notes in it. It's 2,200 pages. It's available on Amazon. And it's the best way to stay connected with Israel and to pass on your love for Israel to your children and grandchildren, to the next generation, by encouraging them to also read their Bible.
Well, I know you're doing much more than just the Israel Bible. For many, many years, have bridged the gap between Jews and Christians. Can you tell us some of the ways that you are doing that?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a pretty traditional Jewish community and didn't know a lot of Christians. Jews kind of live in our own bubbles. We live in a close-knit community around a synagogue. We have to walk to the synagogue on Shabbat, on the Saturday. And so we don't interact a lot with Christians. I was shocked when I was already a young adult and met for the first time in my life Christians who love Israel. I never heard of such a thing. And since then, that was about 15 years ago, I've been so curious and eager to learn more about why is it that Christians love Israel so much. And so I've been building wonderful friendships and relationships with Christians who love Israel. And so everything we do at Israel 365 is meant to be from an authentic Jewish perspective, but geared for a non-Jewish audience.
Israel365.com is where you can go to find more information about what they do. Israel365.com. I encourage you to check that out. Well, we're talking to Rabbi Tully Wise with Israel 365, and there's a war going on in Israel right now. And one of the things that's not new but has just intensified, and that is the distorted media bias against Israel. I've never seen it like this ever against Israel since this war began.
Israel has always been fighting a two-front battle, a battle on the military ground against our Arab neighbors or enemies, and also a war for the hearts and the minds of people around the world. Israel is a country that people are focused on from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, just like because God is focused on Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And so as opposed to the numerous conflicts that are happening all over the world, when there's a conflict in Israel, it's always on the front page. And the mainstream media is always very quick to hold Israel to great scrutiny. And in a war, especially an urban war, where there's a lot of casualties, and especially in a situation where you have an evil terrorist empire like Hamas that is doing everything that they can to maximize civilian casualties and recording the whole thing on their cell phones and on their GoPros. So all of this is in order to, they know that they can't defeat Israel militarily, but they also know that they have a very eager and cooperative mainstream media who is doing their bidding and helping fight against the legitimacy of Israel through the media, which is why we're here, John, at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. The NRB is this great conference for Christian and conservative media who are really the only ones who care deeply about the truth, getting the truth out, the truth about Israel, how Israel is fighting this unprecedented urban war against terrorists using civilian shields and doing the best that they can to minimize civilian lives and civilian casualties, but up against tremendous odds with both of our hands tied behind our back.
You know, I'm thinking of a couple of things right now. Israel365.com, you offer a news source for people that they can go to, they can get on your email list, and they can get news, you know, coming from Israel through your organization. You guys are right there in the land of Israel. That's where you live. And so I encourage people to go to Israel365.com, Israel365.com, check that out. Why do you think the news media is so distorted against Israel? What's at the root of that?
That is a great question. You know, the news media, first of all, in every democracy, the media does an important job in holding its leaders accountable. But in some situations, they're either a propaganda arm of a government, like you have, for example, Al Jazeera, right? It's a propaganda arm of the Qatari government, then you have in America a very unhealthy relationship between the mainstream media and the government also. You know, you read the New York Times, and they're basically floating these ideas from their journalists like Thomas Friedman. And then the next thing you know, the next day, you hear it from the Biden administration. They're clearly working together in some capacity, right? Or sometimes the Biden administration that will want to criticize Israel, and they will leak a story to The Atlantic. That happens all the time. Why does it happen? Because that is their way of having an indirect influence on world opinion, which matters a lot. You see, the countries are falling into place against Israel, and very few countries are firmly in Israel's corner. Even though there are so many countries that recognize the threat of terrorism and want Israel to be successful in destroying Hamas, the Gulf countries, the Arab countries themselves, Egypt, Jordan, all of the countries that surround Israel, and then the Gulf countries, they want Israel not to defeat Hamas to destroy it completely. They are much more vulnerable to the threat of terrorism than Israel is, yet nobody is saying that publicly. So there's so much falsehood that a regular person watches the news and doesn't even know how to make sense of what is going on, because there's so much propaganda out there. There's so much fake news out there, and it's really hard to get to the truth.
Well, that's why Israel365.com is a good source for news and information for you and your family. Now, you mentioned the Biden administration leaking to all these left-wing media outlets out there. As an Israeli, why do you think and how do you feel about all the pressure from the Biden administration for a two-state solution and just all the pressure, you know, from this current government that says, you know, you need to do things our way?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as a Jewish American, right, I was born here, I'm third generation American. My parents were born in the Midwest. I was born in the Midwest. My grandparents, you know, are American. And so very proud Americans. And it's very troubling and hurtful that the American government is turning so much against Israel and even the Jewish community and allowing anti-Semitism to get out of hand and allowing the college campuses to become cesspools of hate against Jews. It's very hurtful for the Jewish community. And I know that a lot of Jews who have traditionally always voted Democratic are now not only rethinking that, but are making the big shift to the right. And just in today's news from Israel, there's a website called Arutz Sheva, Israel National News. There was a study that came out that in New York, so the Jewish vote has swung from Biden to Trump in a big way. Trump is now up in the Jewish community by 8 points in New York. That has never happened before. And it represents the fact that many Jews are just no longer comfortable with anti-Semitism, with all of the hatred directed against Israel, and are now much more open to the Republican Party than they've ever been in the past. And so there's a lot going on, and the Jews are nervous, and the Jews are going to be making, they have an open mind and are much more thoughtful about the importance of the presidential election as it affects Israel, as it affects America, anti-Semitism, and there's going to be some surprising trends in the next election.
And it's really a good thing to note that it's not just the Democrats. Republican administrations in the past have been calling for a two-state solution. There are Republicans that are calling for a, quote, two-state solution. So I want to ask you, in your mind, what is a two-state solution? Is that good for Israel, or is there something more that we need to know?
Since the 90s, right, when the Clinton administration put together the Oslo peace accords between Israel and Arafat and the Palestinian Authority. So there's been this talk about getting towards a two-state solution. That was the end goal, that after the Palestinian Arabs demonstrated their rejection of violence and terrorism, then they would have a state down the road. Almost immediately, they embarked on terrorism with the intifadas, and so didn't do anything to live up to their side of the bargain. And therefore, the two-state solution really should be completely off the table. And in Israel, for all intents and purposes, it is off the table. In fact, literally as we speak, so the latest news from Israel is that the Knesset voted in an overwhelming way against the two-state solution right now, or against implementing it, against the unilateral implementation of a two-state solution. That's literally what the Knesset is deciding on today. Earlier in the week, the cabinet voted unanimously that now is not the time to implement a two-state solution. So Israel itself does not want this and doesn't understand why its great ally, America, would be pushing so hard for it, which would be a great reward for terrorism.
It really is a one-state solution, and that is a solution for the Arabs to remove the Jews completely and totally from the land of Israel. That's what this is all about. And, you know, you think about the Palestinian Authority, and would you say that they're a partner for peace, or do they have some of the same things that Hamas has?
It's all a matter of different grades of how much their charter calls for the destruction of Israel. And while they use diplomacy as a means towards their end, Hamas also wants to destroy the Jewish people completely, but doesn't use diplomacy. They only resort to terrorism. The Palestinian Authority, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, still pay for murderers and terrorists. They have a policy that we refer to as the pay to slay policy, where they're paying people to murder Jews. They're keeping their family members on their payroll even after their terrorist attacks. They support terrorism in any way that they can. They have done nothing to condemn the Hamas massacre on October 7th. They deny the Holocaust, and they're clearly they're not a partner for peace, but they're also just a failed, corrupt government for their own people. They've let down their own people for decades, perpetuating this refugee status in a way that the Palestinian civilian population is a very, very persecuted, and it's a terrible thing how persecuted their population is, and the two-state solution has to go, and there is actually a much better plan that many people in Israel are discussing right now.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, the land of Israel. Who does it belong to?
So the land of Israel, it's very clear, it belongs to God. I mean, it's God refers to it as my land. This is my land, and I am giving it to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's basic. That's from Genesis, and it starts in chapter 12. It's throughout the rest of the Bible. It's God's land. He's given it to the Jewish people in covenant to hold on to it, to settle it, and not to divide it. And that is the plan that we need to implement right away. And actually, it sounds incredibly miraculous, prophetic, and even messianic, but that's exactly what's going to happen.
You are actually moving into a new campaign that highlights all of that, right?
Right. Keep God's land. And Keep God's land is based on this premise that we're discussing. It's God's land. He gave it to the Jewish people, and it is our generation's duty to ensure that the Jews keep it, that the Jews make sure that the Jews keep God's land. And Keep God's Land is a movement of Jewish and Christian leadership who are committed to both educating our communities about the importance of the land of Israel and settlement and sovereignty throughout the land, including Judea and Samaria, and also advocacy, going to our elected officials and ensuring that they stand strong with all of Israel, with greater Israel, with Judea and Samaria, not allowing the boycotting of products from Judea and Samaria, not allowing BDS, but also not allowing the sanctioning of Jews who live in Judea and Samaria. That's something that right now the Biden administration has come out with sanctions against people who live in Judea and Samaria. And it's unprecedented. It's probably illegal because it goes against so many years of American precedent, yet nobody is stopping it. And Keep God's Land is looking to educate our constituency and advocate on behalf of making sure that we keep God's land.
If we don't do that, then we're not following God's word. And I have to think back to Gaza when the Jewish people were in that area of the land of Israel and how it prospered and how the land was blooming in Gaza. And then, of course, our government, the United States, gave that to the Arabs, and the land just went down. I mean, it just completely went haywire there in Gaza. But God's word is really clear that when the Jews are in the land and they're doing what God's called them to do, the land prospers.
That's everywhere. That all of the prophets describe it. Isaiah describes it extremely beautifully about the process of the end of days. There's a very clear timeline in Isaiah where it says that the Jews are going to be scattered all over the world, and then they're going to be ingathered, and they're going to come back from the four corners of the world, and they're going to dwell in the land of Israel. And in Isaiah 49, it talks about how the kings and the queens, the Gentile nations, will assist, will lift the Jews on their shoulders and carry them back to the land in their bosoms. And that's happened. And then what it says in Isaiah 60, it talks about how the barren wasteland will turn into a Garden of Eden, and how the ruined cities will once again shake off their dust and emerge as strong, fortified cities. And that is happening today. And then it says that after the physical settlement of the land, then there will be a spiritual revolution and a spiritual redemption of not the land, but of the hearts of the Jews and the hearts of the Gentiles, to recognize God together, Jews, non-Jews, Jews and Christians, recognizing the God of Israel together. And that, John, is what's happening as well today. You have, for the first time, Jews and Christians cooperating, reconciling, putting aside our centuries of history and baggage and animosity, and saying, we have no choice but to work together. We have an evil enemy that is trying to attack not only the Jews, but the Christians as well. What they say, what the radical Islamics say themselves, what the jihadis say, is first the Saturday people, and then the Sunday people. First, the little Satan, and then the great Satan. It's only a question of priority, who comes first, but they are dead set and hell-bent against destroying both of us and our cultures, the Judeo-Christian civilization that has turned America into such a wonderful, great, the greatest country in the world. They are determined to reverse those achievements and to apply Sharia law throughout the world to take over the world. That's not me. That's what they say. And I don't know how familiar people are with radical Islam, but with what's going on in the southern border in America and the tens of thousands of undocumented foreigners entering the United States on a monthly basis, everybody needs to wake up to the, they found evidence that it's Hamas, Hezbollah, Iranians who are entering into America without any concern. Nobody's watching. No one's paying attention. There's evidence. The FBI has evidence that they're setting up sleeper cells throughout the United States. This is a problem that Israel is very aware of in Israel, but you see how you can't be constantly on guard 24/7 for year after year after year after year, and you can't rely on technology, that if the enemy is trying to destroy you and to hurt you and to use products that you could buy at a Walmart, everyone in this country needs to pay much more close attention to what our enemies are saying. When they say that they're coming after the Jews and the Christians, we have to take that seriously.
Yeah, it is time for people to wake up with what's happening in the United States. It's time for us to wake up with what's going on in Israel. And Israel365.com, you all do that on a day-by-day basis. And this movement that you mentioned earlier, you know, keep God's land, all of it. How can people get involved? Are you going to be holding meetings around the country? What practical things are you going to be doing?
First of all, people can visit the website, keepgodsland.com. And on that website, we have a petition that says, you know, yes, I believe that Israel is God's land. People could sign up in order to get more information. We are planning a delegation to the Knesset in March. We are planning a delegation to Washington, D.C. in April, and that's being led by Michelle Bachman, the Dean of Regents University's School of Government. And there's a lot that we're looking for people to join our advocacy efforts, to meet with our elected officials, to present them with the signatures of all of those who want to insist that America supports Israeli sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, which goes against decades of American policy. And so it's not going to be easy. We're not going to be meeting with our congressmen and they're going to say, oh yeah, I support Israel. Where could I sign? They're going to say, wait a minute, I need to understand this more. Where is Judea and Samaria? Isn't that the West Bank? Isn't that the occupied territories? And you have to say, no, the Jews are not occupying the territories. It's the land that God gave to us. We're called Jews because it's the land of Judea. And once you start understanding the situation, then we're able to be more effective advocates. So Keep God's Land has these two pillars, education and advocacy. And this is a movement of Jews and Christians united together for a greater Israel, a really revolutionary new vision for what it means to stand with Israel today.
KeepGodsLand.com. KeepGodsLand.com. And pray for this movement that is happening across the country. And I want to encourage you to go to that website, KeepGodsLand.com. The other website is Israel365.com. News and information. You can get a lot of information there. And Rabbi Tilly Wise, the founder of Israel 365 and editor of the Israel Bible and so much more, I really do appreciate you taking some time out of your very, very busy schedule to talk to us today on the Middle East Report. And I hope people will get involved in your organization because these are absolutely crucial days and times that we live in. You know, when we think of these last days that we're in and we think of what's going on in Israel, it is so imperative that people get involved.
Well, thanks, John, for having me, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Well, that's the Middle East Report. I want to thank you for listening, and you can actually get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. We are on all the major podcast platforms out there, so please check that out. And you can also go to AFR.net, click on the podcast tab, and then search for the Middle East Report, and you will find me there, and you'll find this show and many, many others in the archive. So I encourage you to check that out. And let's continue to pray for the situation there in Israel. Let's not just pray, let's get involved. Thanks for listening to the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley.